Sundays and Wednesdays and Sunday school and just getting up singing for the Lord, and that's a blessing. Amen.
Amen. Thank God folks hung around for a while.
Amen.
All right, we're going to have some preaching now, and we're going to have Brother Epps come. We're always glad to see Brother Davis and Brother Epps. And we try to pray for him regularly. We appreciate him. It's been a blessing to me. Me and him met a few years ago. I don't even remember where now, but anyway, we both had a drink from the same fountain, and we had something to talk about. And he liked my preaching, and I liked his, so that made us buddies. You pray for him.
Bless him, Lord.
Invitation to come and the good meal, and I know somebody is about to nod out. Hang in there, we'll make it. Amen.
Amen.
But it was great. I'd eat more of it, but I wouldn't be able to get up here and breathe. But I'd eat what I wanted to eat. Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
Appreciate the Lord letting me run into Brother Prophet. I think I met him up at Durbin Spears. I know, amen, that's the truth. I think that's where I met him. And as a matter of fact, I know it is. And he invited me down to his Jubilee meeting. And he's been a good friend to me, probably a lot better friend to me than I could ever pay. And this church has been a friend to me. It's an honor to be here. I thank you for letting me come. I'm a nervous wreck here. Anytime you got something that you ain't never preached before, you'd have to be a preacher to really know what I'm feeling right now, because you've got it going through your head. You think you got it, and you really want to deliver it in the right way.
That's right.
And you hope it's a fitting. You know, a lot of good messages, but it's really good to have it when it fits.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Kind of like singing, you know. You don't, when you have an invitation, you don't sing, we shall not be moved.
Yeah.
You know, and that just don't fit, does it?
Yeah.
Or you're taking up an offer and singing, Jesus paid it off. That just not, it doesn't fit. I want this to fit. And it's a simple thought. It really is tonight. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 14. And I also want you to look in 1 Kings chapter 19 and try to give you these few thoughts tonight. And I hope it's a fitting message for the time of year. Amen. If the Lord permits, we are getting ready to go into another year. It's a blessing that we've made it this far.
Right.
Amen. And we didn't make it. If you're not saved tonight, you didn't make it on your own. You're traveling on the mercy of God.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
And you're in a good place to run into the grace of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Sinners, I believe, really travel on mercy.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And when you get to be in a church service where the truth is preached, old time singing, God don't try to do nothing.
Right.
But God's giving you opportunity to move out of mercy into grace. Does that make sense? I think that's right. And then if you're saved tonight, no matter what you've accomplished or what you failed at this year, you didn't really let God down. You knew about it before you let Him down. You can say, hey, this grace. I'm rambling around here, really. I'm so nervous. I don't hardly know my name. Amen. But here in Luke chapter 14 and in verse 25, before you read that there verse 25, if you read the previous verses, you'll see where folks had all kinds of excuses for not coming to the Lord. Some had an excuse about some land they bought. Amen. They said, I want to go see it.
Yeah.
They think I bought something, had looked at it.
Amen.
Don't make no sense. Another said, I bought some oxen and I want to go prove them. It'd be kind of like buying a car and never driving it.
Right.
You'll get burned that way. I can tell you that. Amen. Then another tried to blame his problems on his wife. Well, you might justify some of that. Excuses. Amen. Everybody's got it. We all do. Here in verse 25 of Luke 14, he said, There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. For which of you intended to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Thus happily, after he had laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build, was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desire conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Sold is good, but if the soul is lost, is savor, whether it shall be sold, it be seasoned. It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Father, we do ask you tonight to help us with these thoughts tonight. We be in the right spirit and the right attitude. And help us say, Lord, something that would help us all and be pleasing to thee, and help us start this new year out right, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, we're familiar with these portions of Scripture. I don't know about you. I want to be a better disciple, you can say, than I have been this year.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, my heart's desire, and I trust that your desire to serve the Lord and to be his disciple or used to him. And over here in the First Kings, don't let me get ahead of myself, because I am a little nervous. Maybe I get hooked up here in a minute and make some sense. Here in First Kings, talking about in chapter 19 and verse 19, talking about Elijah here, it said here, so speaking of Elisha, he said, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plying with 12 yoke of oxen before him. He with the 12, and Elisha passed by and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah, and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. I'm trying to make a point here about discipleship, or really fully following the Lord. Better or more sincere than we maybe have in the past. And like I said, I hope this is the right thought, and I am too far into it to back out of it now. But the truth of the matter is, you know, discipleship, giving your all to the Lord, sometimes folks get puzzled or perplexed about being a disciple.
Amen.
You know, discipleship here tonight, it's four little simple thoughts tonight and I'll be done. Discipleship has to do with a call. It has to do with the cost. It has to do with commitment. Then it has to do with the compensation.
Yes.
Following the Lord. And here we know Elijah. You know all about this great prophet Elijah. Amen.
Yes.
You know how he prayed and fire come down from out of heaven from God, and it burned up the offering, licked up the water, and amen. And then he went out and killed all the prophets of Baal. Amen. He cut them all up with a sword.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. That's my kind of Christianity right there. Amen. And somebody I've heard to preach that he was out of the will of God. Where in the world would they get such a thought? Amen. But you know, I mean, this man was my kind of man.
Yeah, baby.
Isn't that right?
And
you know the story how after he'd done that, Jezebel said she's going to do the same thing to him, and he got scared. He let a woman.
Amen.
Amen. That blows my mind, don't you? Amen. But I tell you what, I pastored the church, and I run into a couple of them. Amen. Amen. But you know, he ran, thought he's going to die, got to praying to die.
Yeah.
Amen. He went from the mountaintop all the way down in the valley.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, just in a battle night.
Yeah.
I mean, he really got fouled up.
Yeah.
Amen. He got to pouting. Amen. You know, and saying that he wanted to die. He got really depressed.
Yeah.
You know, and God sent him some meal and some rest, and the angel touched him, and man, he's back at it again. That's what church is for, you know.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, we're up here, and our prayers are causing God to move mighty. Next thing you know, somebody can say a little word to us, and we're so depressed, we can't move it, though. Amen. That's what church is for, though. I've come in church a few times. So down and out, wonder if I was even saved. And for the meeting's over, I was ready to charge hell with a water pistol. Hell, that's what church is for. I mean, to help us. Amen. And here, you know, God had used this great man. And here, when he went by, you know, during the drought, he told them there's going to be a drought,
yeah,
no rain, and the drought was over, and here, old Elijah was a plow, amen, 12 yoke of oxen, he had one of them plowed.
Yeah.
Hey, old Elijah, he wasn't from the same side of town I was from, amen. I mean, hey, Elijah was a wealthy farmer.
Yeah.
At least his mom and dad was. Amen. Some folks act like you got a little money. You can't do nothing for God. Amen. I tell you what, I'd like to try that, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, we try it to the other side. I'm trying to get somewhere here. Some of you need to help me here. Elijah came. You can see the picture, you know. They're plowing these fields. The rain is time and things are pick up. And, oh, Elijah running across the middle of this plowed field, and here's Elijah out there working. You know, God don't call people that won't work.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm in the prison ministry. You ain't never seen as many deadbeats that say God called them to get in the prison ministry. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm not doing my time. Amen.
Yeah.
Some of them just too sorry to work. Amen.
Yeah.
But God don't, he don't got much use for ladies.
You're right.
Amen. And Elijah, he was busy working. Amen. Taking care of business.
Yeah.
And Elijah come across that field. I tried to get the picture of that. This great prophet, he took his mantle and throwed it on Elijah. Amen. And he went on his way. And the Bible said that Elijah, immediately he dropped it all. He dropped the plow. Amen. He went after Elijah. No questions asked. Hey, he knew God was calling him to do something better than plow the field.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, you know, there's a calling. You get called to get saved. Amen. I mean,
right.
The Holy Ghost has to speak to your heart.
Right.
I can't explain all that. I heard the gospel a many times before I ever heard the gospel.
Yeah.
Amen. I that morning when I believed with all my heart,
yeah,
God called me unto salvation.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sure of that, and I'm just as sure tonight that God called me to serve
yeah
him.
Yeah.
Jesus, I've been
saved. Yeah.
Hey, man, you got the call here. The drought's over.
farming, busy farming, lousy out there doing what he's supposed to be doing, working, and the man of God, led of the Holy Ghost of God, come by and put his mantle upon him or coat upon him, and old Elisha with no questions asked, hey, if we could just serve God, no questions asked.
Right.
And you know over in Matthew 4, where Jesus come by and them disciples were mending their nets and casting their nets, and they was in their father's ship and they was doing all that. And Jesus' father said, follow me. And immediately they followed him. Yeah. They left everything, no blueprint, no, hey, don't you wish you had, I wish I had that kind of faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, we got too many questions about how it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, here, you know the call of God. It involves being identified with a person.
Right.
Amen. When old Elisha went out to this great prophet Elijah, he wanted to be identified with the prophet. Amen.
Yeah.
Elijah, he was a righteous man. He was a rejected man. And later on, he was a risen man when God caught him up into heaven. You know, the Lord, when we get called to God and saved, we're supposed to be identified with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Hey, he's a righteous man.
Yeah.
He's a rejected man.
Yeah.
He's a risen man.
Yeah.
I want to be identified with the Lord God Almighty.
Yeah.
I want to be done, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm trying to preach here. Hey, might you help me? Hey, when you speak about Elijah, he's a type or a picture of the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, Elijah wanted to be identified with this person, Elijah, more than he did wanting to plow them fields and own that farm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, here, it calls, when you get called to God to do the service of the Lord, he wants you to be identified with it. Wherever you go, he wants people to know who you're
right.
Identified
yeah,
with. You know, we live in a day and time where it's hard to identify God's people.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's not just somebody going to harp on how we dress and where we go and all that. But he said, if you have love one for another, about this, all men should know that you're my disciple. Amen. Love. Amen. That's not a cheap word. Amen. Charity. That's love in action.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. The Bible said, if a brother or sister be naked, destitute of food, and one of you say, depart in peace, be you warm, be you filled, notwithstanding you give him not the same people of the body, what does it profit? You ever heard anybody say, I love you, and they know you got a need?
Yeah.
And they have the needs to help you?
Yeah.
How am I doing right there?
Wonder.
Well, I don't know how I got on that. Hey, man, it's a true thing.
Yeah.
He said, let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. Hey, if folks say, I love the Lord, and then they don't want to go to church regularly, there's something wrong with that kind of
stuff. Right.
You can't love him and not love us. Hey, man, I know we're a mess. Hey, man, so are you.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. Right. Amen. It's amazing how folks get mad quit coming to church.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, I still go to Walmart. They'll run over you at Walmart for a parking place.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
Have you ever seen so many handicapped parking places in your life? Amen. I'm going to get me one of them things to lie about if I have to. Amen. You know, I believe some of them people do, don't you?
Yes.
I'm doing it. Amen. They'll cuss you and blow the horn at you. I don't keep me going back to Walmart. Amen. They got the cheapest razor blades in town. Hallelujah. Amen. Go in now to get you a tube of toothpaste, come out $90 less.
Yeah.
Time to get everybody else you think you need. Isn't that how it is? But anyway, where was I at? Hey, amen. I mean, for God so loved the world.
Yeah.
We sing that song. I was somewhere the other night, and they're singing that song. I surrender all.
Yeah,
and I hesitated while I was saying it. And I looked up this brother next to this preacher friend of mine, and I said, wonder what would happen if we really would
You're right.
Surrender all.
Yeah.
Wonder, and then I said, I don't even know how to completely do that.
Yeah. Right.
Because we're so wrapped up in
It's hard to get untangled, ain't it?
Right.
Well, am I doing all right here? I'm going to go ahead. Amen. The call of God involves becoming identified with a person. It also comes involved becoming inspired by a plan. Amen. I mean, God had a plan for Elijah before Elijah ever knew about the plan.
Right.
Amen. You know, isn't that right? You read over in chapter 19, verse 15 through 16, you'll find out where he told Elijah to go over and anoint Elijah. Amen.
Yeah.
Elijah didn't know about the plan, but God had a plan before he ever knew about the plan. By the way, God's got a plan for you. You're probably not going to, but if you'll just sell out for God and let him have your life, you'll be amazed what he'll do.
Yeah.
Amen. That morning I got saved, I didn't know I was going to get saved.
Bless you, right?
God had a plan.
Yeah.
Amen. I walked in there. I didn't know how to get saved. I didn't know what God's plan was. It didn't take God by surprise that day I got saved. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah.
He had a plan for my life.
Yeah.
He's in charge. He's a sovereign God.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't know God was going to have me be a preacher. Amen. I didn't know that was God's plan. Isn't that right? You didn't either. Hey, I'm glad I got in on God's plan.
Amen.
I mean, God's the architect of this thing. Amen. He has a plan for our life. I didn't know when I went up to Durham Spears that day. I went in, meet Barry Crawford, probably become one of the best friends I got. Amen. That's right. Amen. I didn't know. That's part of God's plan. Now I get the privilege to come by here and rant and rave like I'm doing right now. Amen. I ain't just about as much as some of y'all did. I like that brother there when he called him up here to sing. He got up. He's trying to get his breath. Hallelujah. Amen. I think, how's it feel? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad I got in on God's plan.
Amen. Amen.
I just know long hair goes past when God saved me. Who never thought? Hey, I wasn't in church when God called me to preach. I used to talk, now if you're a part of Indian, don't get offended. I never dig up no graves or nothing, but I used to walk along the rivers and the creek banks and hunt Indian artifacts and arrowheads and stuff. Amen. I mean, I've been serving the Lord or going to church or trying to live right, and the Holy Ghost. I come down there, they'll holler. I was hunting Indian arrowheads one day. And it's just as clear. I'm more sure I got called to preach than I am I'm saved.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you what, it wasn't an audible voice, but it's just like me and God out there in the middle of a 500-acre field, and he's told me no doubt about it. I want you to preach. Scare me today.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. So I went back the next Sunday at the church, or the next Wednesday it was, and I said, preacher, God called me to preach. I thought, you know, he wasn't going to turn me loose. He said, we'll see Sunday morning. Yeah. Amen. I was a hard worker. I worked for TVA, and I was a rod buster, and then we hung steel. We did everything. And I had this messy boy. I had this thing polished. I thought I had this polished. Amen. It ain't too slick. And I preached that thing to everything that week. I had it all smoothed out, all the bad edges. I thought, boy, they're going to sling bonnets. They're going to have a tag. And I got up there that morning. I sound like Porky Pig. I couldn't hardly say my name. I just stood there and weep for about 5 minutes. My wife said, I ain't never preached any better. Hallelujah, amen. I'm telling you what, God knows
what you're
doing. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
He had a plan. He's inspired by a plan. This plan was generally recorded in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 and 16. Mm-hmm. Before Elijah knew it, before some of y'all, you don't know what God's going to do with you.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. But I tell you one thing, you just keep doing right. That's what Elisha was doing when God called him. Hey, it was generally recorded in 1 Kings 19, verse 15. It was gradually revealed to him over a period of time.
Yeah.
And then later on, it was gloriously realized.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I get to preach in prison all over the country. Amen. I tried pastoring a Baptist church. I'd give up and went to jail.
Amen. I like it. It ain't the bottom of the barrel. Amen. If it is, I'm glad to be there. Amen. And because of that, amen, that's the reason I get to preach in all these other places. Who ever thought God would do it? Hey, it's a wonderful life serving the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I don't know if it's helping you or not. Amen. It's probably preach better next time. I'm getting rough edges off of you. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about, he is identified with a person. He got inspired with a plan, by a plan. He also got involved in a program. Hey, it was a time of apostasy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And darkness. Wickedness.
Yeah.
Idolatry. Amen. Vile. Vulgar. Kind of like where we live.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God always has His witness around.
Yeah, it is.
Amen. When He gets done with us, we're leaving here.
Hey,
I heard, I think it was in Bill Grady's book, maybe. He might be right about it. He said, we're the salt of the earth. When the salt loses its flavor, this one's good for nothing.
Yeah.
He cast out and try another foot of men. He said probably when the salt loses its salt, when we get where we're good for nothing, we'll get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not, but amen, we're not too salty now.
You're right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. The salt makes people thirsty.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. We've got so worldly, we have a hard time making people thirsty for what we got.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know we keep things from rotten and
come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it was a rotten time of apostasy.
Yeah.
And God, He's got us involved in a program.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm part of the program.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody said, we don't have programs where I go. Well, yeah, you do. Amen. I mean, we're part of a program. Hey, we got the call here. Am I doing it the good you still
have? Yeah.
I'm a hurry, man. I'm a hurry. I'm
in time. This
point number two. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a call. Hey, there's the cost of discipleship.
Yes.
He said, you see here, the cost is recognized here. He said, let me go kiss my father and my mother goodbye.
Yeah.
Amen.
In other words, your family, you got to love him more than you do your family.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah. He says if you're not willing to hate him, that don't mean hate him like a bitter kind of vengeful thing. It means you love them less than you do him.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Now, my mom and dad weren't saved, and I got saved, and I'll be honest with you, I probably went about it wrong. I got saved, and I tried to cram the Lord down their throat. You can't. That don't work.
Right.
I was zealous.
Right.
And, amen, and probably did a lot more harm in some ways. Didn't mean to.
True.
They had a drinking problem, and they divorced anyway. So much for all that. But, my dad had a stroke, and I love my dad. He wasn't that kind of, like my son. My son, 32 years old, I call him and tell him I love him every day. Verbally tell him I love him. Every day. He calls me and tells me he loves me. Boy, he's awful. I think that's good.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't raised around that. I'm not whining about that. You know your family loves you, but you didn't hear that.
Right.
Amen. My grandson, I got two little grandsons, one 5 years old, one 17 months. We don't whoop them at my house. They'll probably die in an electric chair, but I ain't whooping them. Ain't good. You know what I mean? Anytime I get one of them anywhere near, I squeeze him up.
Yeah.
We tell him I love him, and we tell him the Lord loves him.
Amen. Bless your birthday.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're trying to weave that into them as they go along.
Yeah.
But I do get the privilege. Now, my dad wasn't the kind of. My dad, I never heard my dad say he was sorry. I never heard my dad apologize about nothing. And I never heard my dad say he loved nobody. For 73 years of his life.
Yeah.
But I did get the privilege of winning my dad to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Had a stroke when he's 52. Paralyzed him. Put him in a wheelchair. Made him a bitter man. I had to put him in a nursing home. And I'd go down there to see him two or three times a week.
and I try to talk to him about the Lord. He takes it almost, and I give him gospel tracts. He'd tear them up. I'd write letters and put it under his pillow and tell him he needs to get right with God.
Yeah.
He'd make fun of it. I'll certainly be telling all this.
That's all right.
Amen. I wish he was here tonight. I'd reach down there and hug him. And I'd kiss him and tell him that I'm sorry. That I wasn't better son. You need to love
him.
You'll regret a lot of things if they get off the scene. You didn't treat them just right.
Yeah.
But I did get the privilege. I just about give up on my dad. My dad's 73 years old, paralyzed, white as a sheep, in a wheelchair. And I got the privilege of talking to him one more time about the Lord. And 3 days later, he rode in the church where I'm a member with his wheelchair and rode down the aisle weeping like a baby, wheelchair and all. Got saved and baptized in wheelchair and all. And I heard him tell me he's loved me.
Amen.
And I heard him call my mother up, my mom and him.
Yes,
and he said, Lucille, I'm sorry for treating you so bad.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Salvation come to this house.
Am I doing any good here?
Yeah. Amen. Amen. People live right there.
My mother was an alcoholic. She married a man worse than my dad ever treated her. He died and went to hell. I tried to win the Lord. He died and went to hell. And I thought my mother was going to go. My mom would throw me out of the house. I said, Mom, you're an alcoholic. You'd never know she's drinking if you didn't know her. And I said, Mom, you're an alcoholic. You're drunkard. I said, you ain't going to go to heaven if you don't get right with God. Who are you to call me that? Who you self-righteous? I wouldn't be. And I just...
Yeah.
My mama didn't know she was going to die, but about 6-8 weeks before my mother died, my mama got saved.
Glory.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, Mr. Crowder told me he led her to the Lord and prayed with her at another church where she visited. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. But you know, it'd been wonderful to been saved. And when God did call me, maybe just to kiss them and tell them goodbye. I was going to serve the Lord. I just want to go kiss my mom. Hey, sometimes the cost of serving God, you'll have to turn your back on your family.
Right.
It's true. Right.
You really will. Sometimes that hurts. They don't understand the cost. Hey, it didn't just cost him his family, but it cost him his fortune.
Yeah.
You know, you ever heard anybody say, I own this, and I own that, and I own this farm, and you don't own nothing.
Right.
You know, you're trying to get folks to faithfully tithe and give to the work of God, save people, and they say, I can't afford it.
Yeah.
It ain't yours anyway.
Amen.
And he lets you keep 90% of it.
Right.
And that ain't even yours.
No.
Right. Amen.
How am I doing right there?
Good.
Amen. If you ain't been tithing and faithfully supporting the work of God this last year, you need to get at it.
Amen.
Amen. That's the true thing.
Yes.
We don't own nothing.
Right.
Hey, he owns it all.
Yeah.
You get down sick and can't pay the taxes on that place, you'll find out who owns it.
Amen.
Obama has.
Hallelujah.
Well, we're moving on now. Amen. Nothing wrong with it. He said, let me go kiss my mom and dad goodbye. Hey, we see the cost. Recognize we see the cost for you. He gave up all that wealth. I never had no wealth to give up. Everything that I've done since I got saved, it was a step up.
Yeah, man.
Amen. I'm not proud of that, but I don't know of any real sacrifice that I've ever really had to make for the Lord. Mm-hmm. I was broke when he found me. I lost. If it hadn't been for my mom and pa, I'd been sleeping in the street. The bank had just repossessed my car. It was their car, it wasn't my car. It was their car. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the truth. I just above. When God saved me, I probably didn't have $10 in my pocket. Amen. And everything that I got material now, it's His. He gave it to me.
Amen.
I'm trying, but you know, He had walked off and give up the family farm.
That's right.
Amen. I mean, that, you've got 12 yoke of oxen plowing the farm. That wasn't 2 or 3 acres in the neighborhood. Amen. I mean, he had it spread right there.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, I'm trying to say something here. Hey, y'all still with me? Amen. I've been there about like that. It would have went better. Hey, because Rick and I crossed with you. Hey, a cross representing here. He went then and slew a yoke of oxen. Amen. Yep. He got rid of the material thing that had him tied up. Hey, it wasn't a sad occasion. You know, everybody said, well, I surrendered to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, they act like somebody just died in the family. That wasn't what he did.
Right.
He had a feast.
Yeah.
A celebration.
Yeah.
Hey, amen. I mean, that's what it is to serve the Lord. Hey, we ought to celebrate the fact that He used somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me get done here. We have the call. We have the cost. Amen. Then we have the commitment here.
Amen.
Amen. The commitment. You say, preacher, what's a commitment? He said he arose and went after Elijah. I mean, immediately. No questions asked. Committed. Wherever Elijah went, he went.
Yeah, man.
I mean, here he was willing to follow fully.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus said, the foxes have holes, and the birds I have nests, but the Son of Man have no place to lay his head.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
One fellow said, let me go bury my father. He said, let the dead bury the dead. I don't think he was being smart about somebody grieving over a family member passing away. But he said, hey, I let the family take care of it. I got more important things.
Yeah.
Amen. We really believe he's a coming soon. We would follow fully.
Amen.
And then we'd serve faithfully.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, here you see that the Bible said he went after Elijah and ministered unto him.
Amen.
And then one place it said that he poured water on Elijah's head.
That's right.
That seemed like a trivial thing or a very unimportant thing. Some folks think, you know, well, preacher, if nobody else will do it around church, I'll clean the bathroom.
Yeah.
That ought not be the attitude.
Right.
Amen.
I probably ain't going to come back next year after risk.
Yeah.
If nobody else will do it, preacher, I'll mow the lawn.
Yeah.
That wasn't his attitude.
Yeah.
His attitude is whatever you want me to do, Elijah. If it just pour water on your hands,
right?
Just minister to
you. Yeah, that's good, preacher.
If nobody else to bring any food, I'll cook it.
Yeah.
That wasn't his attitude.
Yeah.
You know, I paid nothing else for it. I guess I'll just do the prison ministry. No, no. What are they excited that he let us do it?
Amen.
I mean, he was willing to serve faithfully. Well. I'm done. I know you kind of got there. Y'all still out there?
Yeah.
Amen.
We see the call, the cost, the commitment. But last of all, we see the compensation.
Oh, amen.
Yeah.
His desire, you know, over there in 2 Kings to have a double portion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of what Elijah had.
Amen.
I don't think that was an envious, jealous desire. That I've had some of those a few times in my service for the Lord. You know, somebody's ministry was seemed like it was a going and growing, and I was a struggling, and down in my heart, really, I, instead of rejoicing with them, I was envious.
Amen.
You ever been there?
Yes, sir.
I mean, just that's amen. A double portion. That, you know, I don't know if that's even wrong to want to do better than you're doing at what you're doing in the name of the Lord.
Right.
Amen. There's nobody in here got a Sunday school class. If you got 5, you wish you had 10.
Yeah,
good. That's you know, wish to have double what I got here.
Amen.
Well, ain't not a preacher, not a young preacher called to God that's working as an assistant, and I wouldn't embarrass. But I mean, someday, somewhere in your mind, you think, boy, I'd like to have my own church, and I'd like to do as good as Brother Rick or this brother. There's nothing wrong with that.
as long as the motive's right.
Right.
And he wanted him. And Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing.
Yes, sir.
Pretty big thing sometimes. Yeah. He said, you know, but he refused to be separate. One thing about it, the compensation was he always had the presence of his master with him.
It's right.
And then, you know, when your heart's right and your desires are right and you've sold out and you surrendered to the call and you're willing to pay the price and the cost and you've committed your life to the Lord, I'm telling you what, the Holy Ghost presence of God, He will be with you along the way. Sure it will.
Sure it will.
I don't think serving God is a struggle all the time like some folk.
Right.
I remember when I was going to start the prison work, my wife said, are you sure God wants you to do that? And I said, I was till you said that. You ever been like that?
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, we had a little house and we had about halfway paid for. And I said, well, if nothing else, we'll sell this house and take what's left and relocate with, and her mother said, he's going to let do what? You know, that's security to a woman.
Right.
But I said, he let us have it.
Yeah.
This is not a boast. I hope you don't think I'm boasting.
Bless you, Lord.
I said, I just want to do something.
Yeah.
Amen. I just want to do something for the Lord. I just want to be busy. Yeah.
Bless you, Jesus.
Yeah. I didn't have to do all that then, but I was willing. I really was willing to do it. Sure was. At $25 a month, call this preacher. I said, preacher, I've not done too good trying to pastor a church. Maybe the Lord will let me do this prison work, and I'm going to try to raise some money. I didn't know how. I said, I thought I'd call you and tell you. He said, Brother F., I'm going to take you on over the phone.
Amen.
Yeah. Then he said, that way I don't have to have you come over here and give you a love offer. He lied about it. I might have told this story here. I'm talking about how God, the compensation.
Yeah.
He said, I want you to come to Michigan. I live 500-600 miles from this place. He said, I want you to come up here at this meeting. I didn't know nothing about deputation or how to go about that. I've helped missionaries and stuff, but I didn't know how to even get started. I just dreamed as a gourd about it. And I told my wife, I said, well, I'm going to Michigan. She said, you got a meeting up there? And I said, no, I'm going to a meeting. She said, that's kind of expensive, ain't it? I said, yeah. I said, but Brother Leonard told me to come up there. He knows there's going to be a bunch of preachers there. Maybe he can get me a little plug in there, you know, and cast a little doubt on me. I bought this car off a church member. Says the one owner. You go find you the crookedest guy in town, buy your car off of. That way, when you get mad at him, you can sell it in the back alley. But you can't hardly do nothing with anybody in the church. You can't get whooping up on me, baby. I was sleeping in the basement on an army cot. You know them old army cots that when you got up, you look like a horseshoe. Talk about the compensation.
Yeah.
$25 a month I had, an old car slinging oil and transmission fluid all the way up the interstate. Yeah. Yeah. Sleeping there in that basement of that church wondering, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I know that in my heart that I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Am I doing any good? I'm shutting down. I'm talking about how God
takes
care of you.
Amen. Doing good.
Amen. And I went out one morning, I probably told you, went out one morning, cold morning, to crank that old car just to see if the battery, you know, make sure cold, it got cold. Went out there and the starter hung up. Burnt the wire and up there. There it was. And you could just think about all that was going through my head then, about the guy that sold me the car. And I was kind of bummed out. You know how you be thinking, I know that ain't real tribulation, but boy, if you're broke, if you're broke almost, you're 500 or 600 miles from home, wondering what you're doing, sleeping on an army cot in the basement of a church, wondering, what am I doing? I'm 40-some years old. What am I doing? And about that time, two men walked around the corner of that church, had the hood up. They said,
"What's wrong, preacher?" And I said, "Oh, some shorted out here, burnt the wiring up, made a mess here." And they said, "Won't you go on in there and join them? By the way, I'm glad I had my rabbit's foot in my pocket. It was two mechanics."
Yeah,
need to keep your rabbit's foot. That paid off. Didn't help that rabbit none. You might as well try it. They said, "Won't you go in there and join the meeting, preacher? This thing will be fixed. It'll be fixed when you come out, and it won't cost you nothing."
Yeah.
That's been 22 years ago or so. I went back in there and sat down, and the preacher couldn't even think my name, the pastor of the church, 1,000 people. He said, you right here, what's your name? And I told him, he said, "You come up here, man. Come up here. Give us about 15, 20, 25 minutes here. Tell us about your ministry. Preach just a little bit and see if we want to hit." I say that to say this. I wouldn't be here tonight. Hey, I ain't never missed a meal. I ain't never had a payment that I couldn't pay. I ain't never had a debt that I owed that I couldn't pay. My wife and family ain't never had to do anything if they needed aid. This is not a name and claim of prosperity. Yes, it is. God, if you sell out to God and let God have your life, He'll take care of you.
He'll take care of you.
Amen. His presence will be with you. Amen. And then not just the presence of the Master, but He got the power to perform the miracle. And I know, you know it well, we're not miracle workers, but when we get to preach and some old inmate that's on his way to hell and has done something in one of them old prisons, and you get to watch the Holy Ghost break him and weep on him and fall on his face on an altar and get saved, that'll help you.
Yeah.
Amen. When somebody's like them people was getting baptized on that screen a while ago, that's the miracles that God lets you get in on. I don't know if that's helped you or not.
Good.
Just a little simple. This year, boy, I want to be a better one, don't you?
Amen.
I really do want to. I wish I could do like we sing that song.
Yeah.
I surrender all.
Amen.
Really. I mean, just. I know we do. If you really, ever really did. Just wonder what the Lord would do with one of us.
Amen.
You come for your own.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
All right, thank you for your help. So enjoy that. It's good.
Amen.
Amen. Think about facts and things, and the Lord told me to preach and some things like that. And the Lord always compensates you. You live for Him, and you don't. God's never nobody's debtor. Amen. All right, we're going to ask the piano player to come, and maybe God spoke somebody's heart here tonight about serving God in this coming year. And I tell you, time's slipping away and getting by. And, you know, I believe the nursing home is filled with people that really intended to do something for God, but they just kept putting it off. And when I look around, it's too late now. Too late now. Sometimes it looks like the compensations of God are too small. As we get to looking around down here, I was reminded the other day, when Carl Nelson passed away, his funeral was on, I think, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. I drove to Irvin, Tennessee, and Brother Nelson preached all over the United States, and held revivals all over the country and in other countries, and I drove down there on Christmas Day. Went to his funeral, and I figured it'd be packed. I figured it wouldn't even be no place to even sit. And I got there, and I had Carl's body laying up there in the front. And I think there's about 30 or 40 people there. And I thought, my Lord, this man's preached all over the country, and 30 people there at his funeral. I was reminded of that. The preacher spent his whole life pastoring churches and everything. And went there, about 12 little bunches of flyers there, and a few people there in the funeral home. You look at that and you think, well, the compensations are not much. But I'm reminded of that old story, you heard it, about the old missionary that was away, and he was starting home. He spent his whole life overseas. His wife died over there, family, well, Willie had. It all died. He'd give his whole life for the work of God. He started home. And he's down in his little bottom there in the cabin. He's feeling sorry for himself. Said, Lord, I give my whole life for the work of God. And I'm coming home now, as far as I know. Don't even have nobody going to be waiting for me there when he gets there. And he didn't realize that on that same ship was a dignitary. And when that big old ship docked in the harbor, he heard a band playing. He went up and looked, and there's a crowd of people there. And he said, well, they did remember me. And somebody did remember me and all these years and sacrifice I've made. And they did remember me. And then they seen that dignitary start walking down the plank there. And he realized it wasn't for him, it was for that dignitary. He went back down below. He got down by a little bunk there and he began to cry. And he said, God, I've given my whole life serving you, Lord. And spent the whole life running, being a missionary and away from my own native country. And Lord, I come all the way down here and come home, Lord, and there ain't nobody there. He said, just as quiet, but just as real as almost an audible voice down deep inside. Said, sir, I didn't know you. Not home yet. Real compensation comes when you step off on that other shore.
Yeah.
There's where the real welcoming party will be.
Yeah.
But Brother Walt used to say, down here they gather around. I was in a setting like that not long ago. They gather around the bed and the family's crying. The nurse is checking the pulse and checking the breathing. And all at once the nurse looks up and says, well, said they're gone. And old Brother Walt said, when that happens, he said, over there, they're saying, here they come! Here they come!
Yeah,
it'll be worth it after a while.
Yeah.
The walls and the road will seem nothing when we come to the end of the way.
Yeah.
Keep pressing on the other way. You'll light some gate of the day.
That's right.
A few years ago, we had Lewis Arnold here. He's 97 years old. We had him here on New Year's Day. And oh, man of God, stumbled up here to the platform. I sat where Nathan was, slumped down. About 55-year-old, thinking my life was about over. He got up and preached, and first thing he said, well, I'll be 97 this year. I'm more excited about God than ever been in my life. He said, I want more of the power of God on my life than ever had before. I want to win more souls for God. When he said that, I straightened up, Eddie, and I said, dear God, he's 97 years old. I'm just 50 some. I may be around here a while. I need to get busy. I need to do something for God.
Amen.
Had most people come to the altar that morning ever have since I've been pastor. I had people come to the altar that morning that have never come to the altar since I've been their pastor. What was it? It was that old man of God, 97 years old. You want to do something for God? Here they sit, ready to throw in the towel, about to give up. You've been saved a few years, like you've heard it all, seen it all. Hey, there's a world lost out there down the hill. We don't need to let up on the gas, we need to mash it to the floorboard. We got 10,000 chick tracks that's going to be brought to my house probably the day after tomorrow. You say, what are you going to do with them? We're going to put them all over this town.
Yeah,
amen. You say, ain't you done that before? Yeah, we're going to do it again. Ain't you ever heard of reseeding? Didn't come up the first time.
Reseeding.
I want people to go to Shoney's and Walmart and the motel and the hospital. And I want them to get so sick of seeing that this is your life crack with Bethel Baptist Church on the back of it. I want them to get so sick of it and say, I wish these people would quit putting these down here. I want somebody to know we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to do something for God. Amen. What about you? I need to pray tonight. God, help me stay steadfast, unmovable, and keep on abounding in the work of the Lord.
That's right.
You say, oh, Brother Rick, you don't ever have no problems. You wouldn't believe the problems that I've had in the last time or so. You wouldn't believe it. I got a family just like you do. We have problems just like you do. You say you're going to quit? No, I ain't going to quit. Lord, they need me to keep going on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to quit.
Oh, if you could know for God and His grace, that's what you need to do tonight. Amen. Amen. Christ don't need your church. He's got some fire about it. Amen. He's some church, need a church. He'll preach the book. He'll have some prayers. He'll sing a lot of songs. Get excited about the Lord.
Amen.
you tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's sing a verse of that just as I am while they're finishing up. We're going to give them plenty of time. Amen. She said, I do promise you, real nice talking, nice acting, young lady. And she said, I promise you, just as soon as we get through this cancer surgery and all this, that we will be at the church. But said, I want to take the opportunity to sincerely thank all the members, Pastor Prophet, and especially Brother Bill, for all you've done for our family during the time of need. We appreciate all you've done, and you have no idea what all of your kind words works meant to us. Please continue to keep us in your prayers. We continue to our fight against cancer. May God bless each of you for all your help. So several of you helped with that, and so it's appreciated from the heart. All right. Brother Bill, you still want to sing a song, brother?
No, Mike and Carolyn sing.
I wanted them to sing. I didn't know if they had anything they could sing or not. I had one song I left to hear them sing. Got anything to memory?
We'll take it out real quick.
What about that song, The Wrong to Wonder? Anything out here got that in it?
No,
I'll sing it, I know. I didn't leave nobody out on the singing that I didn't mean to. I didn't really have anybody. I'd asked a couple of people to sing, and others that were supposed to were sick, not able to be here tonight. But we don't want to leave nobody out tonight. Yeah, I wanted them to sing, but their dad got sick and they didn't got to practice much, so I don't know if they want to or not. All right, they said they could. All right, I appreciate that spirit.
Amen.
All right, so they get ready. I'll get y'all stuff ready then when the mic curves and stuff.
This thing over here we know.
The faith of the Father.
Glad I'm not under the law anymore.
Amen.
It's a song about the law. If I was under the law, I wouldn't be here. Like Brother Rick said a while back, and I agreed 100%, I wouldn't have lasted 1 week under the law. Thank God for grace.
Amen.
Free from the law, oh happy condition. Jesus has bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all.
Amen.
Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O won't you believe it? Cling to the cross, the Savior has come. Christ has redeemed us once for all. This is different than the one we sing. We'll get it. We'll get it. Now are we free? There's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me, oh, hear his sweet call. Come unto Jesus once for all. Once for all, oh, sinner, receive it. Once for all, oh, sinners, relieve it. Free from the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Children of God, oh, glorious calling. Truly his grace will keep us from falling. Passing from death to life at his call, blessed salvation once for all. Once for all, O sinner, believe it. Once for all, O brother, receive it. Leaving the cross, the burden will fall. Christ has redeemed us once for all.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know if them words are the right ones, the ones we had before are the wrong, or if them are the wrong ones, the ones we had before are the right. I don't know. But I know it messes you up sometimes. All right, the girls ready?
Let me not forget on bitter
Morning, and I got in the car, my pastor, and we started down the road, and he said, boy, you preached good last night. I said, you're kidding, aren't you? I said, I made a mess last night. I couldn't do nothing. He said, I know you did. But he said, when you preach, when it's hard, he said, that's when it really counts.
Amen.
So when you preach, when you're still messing up, he said, that's when it really counts. So, honey, sometimes you get messed up, but you just keep standing for the Lord.
And you
got back in there standing for the Lord. Brother Jack got blessed, shouted, waved his handkerchief, and God compensated for it.
Amen.
All right. Praise God.
Amen.
What a Savior.
Yes.
Amen.
Thanks, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I'm glad God visits His people. Amen.
Amen.
That's what the Lord likes, just simple, down to earth, plain.
Amen.
Thank you.
Bless her.
Amen. Bless
Amen.
Her.
He inhabits a place in this people.
Yeah. I'm probably going to go. You can get in the way. That's a
question.
I'm bringing some trials in the last couple of years. Definitely hard stuff for me. It's been a lot of years out of his will.
Yeah. If you love him more.
When I rededicated that sport to him,
bless
and I wouldn't get hard again.
Bless your
father. And I cried every time he touched me because I missed those tears.
Yeah.
And I've let some earthly things take the joy of my salvation again. I want my kids to know that I love him.
Amen.
And even though they say things out of me sometimes, that isn't very Christ-like. But he's good to me. And he loves me when I'm unlovable. I want my husband to know that it is my earnest prayer that I'm the wife that God would have me be.
Bless your heart.
That I let go of grudges this year.
Yeah.
My heart live again. He's there with me all the time, no matter how ugly I am.
Bless your heart.
And in the few times that I do sin talking to him, it's not in the right spirit. But he's still there listening to that.
Amen.
He's good to me. He loves me. I truly want to be better this year. I do. I ask that you guys pray for me. Pray for my family, my home. We strive to make you the center of all things.
Amen. God bless you, Jim. Amen. All right.
I'd like to thank Lord Bell to be here. I know I got here late. Just a mistake.
It's
I used to make fun of people going to church. I guess the one time I thought what was best for Eddie Wade, I don't even know where I formed my opinion about church. I just remember I had a biased opinion. I thought, they're fools. And couldn't drive me into church with a bulldozer, and I guess I thought I'd forgot more than most people knew about God. My concept of God wasn't real. I thank God for that day that he took a little 8-year-old boy and got a drunk.
Amen, brother.
Got him, well, I wasn't sober, but he got him in church. And kind of like the psalmist, till I went in the sanctuary of God, then I understood. I didn't understand until I came in. And I remember thinking, you know, well, let's get it over with, you know, and I come in. And I'm glad the Word of God's alive.
Amen.
I'm glad it does quicken, because I was dead in trespasses and sin. I've been in some churches dead because they didn't have the Word of God, but the Word of God was where I came.
Sure.
And I still remember, but it found me out. I remember I was hiding in the back row back there, and I thought I pretty much had everything under control, but it wasn't too long. God had His way with Eddie Wade, and I remember I thought, my wife has told him everything I've ever done. When we get home, she's had it. Then I got mad at the preacher. I thought, who's he think he is telling me I'm a sinner? And all that was all over with. I have to admit, God had His way, and I gave the invitation. I still remember it. Boy, I was a mess, boy. And God's a whole lot bigger than me and a whole lot bigger than anybody in here. But when they gave that invitation, my heart beating like a jungle drum, and they were singing Just As I Am. I wanted to come Just As I Am, but like I said, my opinion in the church wasn't exactly right, and I didn't know what to do. I remember knowing I need to get saved. I didn't know how to be saved. And I'll tell you one thing, boy, a lot of waters went over the bridge since that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've read the Bible through many times since that day. And I've saw God do a lot of things since that day. And I'm still convinced there ain't nothing like Him.
Amen.
No wonder the psalmist said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I got the buffet line still in it, amen. I tell you what, I don't know what everybody's problem is here. I just know the solution is Jesus.
Amen.
I don't care what you're bearing or what you're going through. I just know one thing. He's your refuge, strength, prayer, prison, help, time of trouble. Don't run from Him like I did for 34 years. Run to Him. I've been walking with Him now for 27 years, and I can't find no fault in Him.
Amen.
I found a lot of fault in me, but I never found no fault in Him. I don't know why He didn't send me on the hell, which I deserved. I don't know why He stood between me and hell, kept me mend up in that place of damn. Because I've often thought better people than me went there. But He did. He stood in my way. I couldn't find a way around Him. And I'm so glad to be saved tonight. Glad to be in the house of God tonight. Glad to feel what I felt here tonight. Glad to know it's real. Know where it came from.
Amen.
And I don't frustrate the grace of God. I wish to know more about Him. I'm still learning about Him. But I'll tell you one thing. Man, a good place to learn about Him.
Amen.
You go where you want to. You'll find over at Ed here at Bethel. Unless God changes that and send me somewhere else. But till He does, I'll be sitting right here. It's been good to be here. Hallelujah.
Thanks, Brother Eddie. Amen, Eddie. Gone, that's about, what, 5 years?
4.5.
4.5 years. We missed him there, I tell you. We missed him, amen, on Sunday morning.
Amen.
And glad he's back. Amen.
Amen.
We love Brother Eddie. We had him to work together, rode motorcycles together. I won't tell you whatever else we did together. But he got saved. They said it wouldn't last. And
yeah.
I see them starting to believe it now.
Yeah,
29 years.
27.
27 years. All right. He's just as crazy for the devil back then as he is for the Lord now.
Yeah, man.
Just turn it around. Amen. He was zealous for the devil.
Yeah.
And he's zealous for the Lord.
Yeah, he was my father.
Amen. He picked a guy up over at Cave City a few years ago. He was hitchhiking. Drove him about 10 miles down the road and let him out and witnessed to him the whole time he was in the car. About 2 weeks later, he come by and the guy was there again. He slowed down. The guy come up there and leaned in the window and seen who it was and said, "You want to go for a walk?" All right, we didn't get mad on singing. All right, this way we ain't gonna sing no more. We're gonna ask to we're burn this note tonight, and signed on this note is Robert Harrison. Need you up here, and Keith Spellman, Stacy Young. He's not here tonight. And Lance Massengill, need them up here tonight. Boys, y'all's not excited on this note. And I thought sure as the world you'd have to pay it. Lord, help us to pay it off. And we started up on the storefront building on the square back 34 years ago. And the building, of course, still up there on the square. And we had a few people started up there. And a guy that I thought was one of my best friends, and the word got back to him and said you'd never make it, you was going to fall flat on your face. And I wasn't smart enough then. I know it was the Lord, and I said, "Well, He's right." I said, "I'll probably fall on my face a lot, but I said, the Lord will pick me up."
Yeah.
Amen. Keep going again. So we left the storefront building and come up here to this building, which was just an old garage when we rented it. And the door where you come in to eat, that was a garage door, like you'd open up to pull your car in there. It wasn't about two lights in the building and hung down on a kind of a string light or cord. There wasn't any windows in the building. Had old green presswood all around the walls. And we rented it for $300 a month. And I know the first year it snowed so much that year that we had to cancel service. I mean, big snows. And we couldn't get the rent money, so I had to go around the member's house to gather up the rent money to pay the rent. And we didn't think that everybody would buy the thing, and they wanted 30. Went to pay the rent one day, and he said, the preacher said, if you'd come up with $5,000, I'll finance this thing for you.
He might well have said 5 million because we didn't have no money. But anyway, I went back that Sunday afternoon, sitting in my study, and I kept thinking, $5,000. How could we ever do that? It seemed like the Lord just turned a light bulb on and said, how many people you got coming? And I told him, and he said, divide that into 5,000. Well, it brought it down to a more reasonable number. He said, now go back to the church tonight and ask how many of them would give that much. I went back on Sunday night, told people what the Lord had told me, and said how many would give. And just like that, the hands went up for the money. And so we paid, bought the building, paid that one off, and we outgrew it. And this old building here was an old abandoned sheet metal factory. And but every time I'd pass it, I'd see it looking just like it is right now. So yeah. Help me, Lord. I know I had Jack Lasker here. Me and him stood up on that bank when it was an old abandoned sheet metal building. I said, what would you think about a man that was thinking about buying that building there? He said, I think you'd be crazy, preacher, to do that. Well, I didn't listen to him and led the church into it. We bought this building, spent about $100,000 or $200,000 really or so renovating the building. And Brother Jack come back here and preached after we got it renovated. He stood up, and the first thing he said, he said, so many years ago, man, that preacher stood on that bank up there, and he asked me about this place, and I said, you'd be crazy to do that. And he said, all I can say is he seen something I didn't see. So anyway, it's made us a good place, and I don't know what the Lord's plans are from here on out, but I do know the Lord let us get this thing paid off, and this last year we really worked hard at it. People pledged and gave big amounts to get it paid off. So by the grace of God, it is paid for.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God that we don't owe anything right now on any property or any vehicles or anything else by the grace of God. So we're thankful for that. Amen. All right. Just hope we don't burn it down tonight.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
If y'all give some money, we'll burn some more.
Thank you, Lord.
Burning slow.
I remember the day that Brother Ricky was. We was at the upper building, and he got to talking about how we'll knock out this wall, we'll knock out that wall, and we'll make it bigger. I couldn't see it. A few years later, we walked through this, what used to be a factory. Walked down that hall and said, we'll put Sunday school rooms down this hall. It was a dirty, old, filthy old build.
Yeah.
I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
But I thank God that he has been with you. And he's done what he's done here, and he's used Brother Ricky to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. I thank God. Amen. I think this note paid off.
Amen.
Word is to us.
And see what God has done. Time to thought we'll never get it paid for. But he fooled me.
Yep.
I thank God for what he's done here this year. What a blessing to me to see this bill get paid off.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen, brother.
Amen. Amen.
Slap the snake again, got a little bit of a burn.
Here, give me a man.
Hallelujah. All right, what a blessing, amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Wish I could end the year like that, I'd have did. Amen. All right, well, it's been good to be here tonight. God's blessed us and met with us. Felt His presence, felt His Holy Spirit. And anytime you can feel the Holy Spirit of God and the day we're living, brother, you can go out and say, I felt God and we've done something tonight.
Amen.
There's 1,000 places you can go tonight and it seems like God's a million miles away. And we need more of Him here. I pray we'll have more of the presence of God here this coming year. Amen.
Amen.
But we mostly got our people here tonight, and we thank the Lord for each one of you, and appreciate you sticking it out and going through the year. Looking forward to what God's going to do in 2015 by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anything on anyone's heart tonight? Anything else tonight, Scott? Mark Wilson.
Mm.
All right. Let's pray for Mark Wilson's sister had to be taken to the hospital. All right. Anything else tonight? We sure appreciate Brother Epps' message tonight.
Amen.
And his wife getting to be with us. Challenge there for the upcoming year. Be careful going home as you leave. Yes. Yeah, Brother Mike's mother had a stroke, had to be taken to Louisville, so bad disease, so do remember that. You know, New Year doesn't change that. And still troubles, problems, strokes and heart attacks and cancer and all that, but we need God to help us through it.
That's right.
Amen. All right, anything else tonight? Yes.
Showed me, and I enjoyed this New Year's Eve. 16 years ago, I would have been here.
Yeah.
I've been working, and what he showed me this year with my job and with my mom. And she's having a rough week this week, nursing home. And I walked in today, and she was smiling in a good mood, just when her mother came from the grave. She was better each day.
Amen.
And then I've been better
for
the Lord this year.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. All right, anybody else tonight? All right, let's stand if you would. I want to ask Brother Epps to go back to the door tonight and his wife go with him. I'm telling you, appreciate the message tonight. And we are going to...